Ready? I'm ready. You're listening to Tall Tales and Tattooing, New Zealand's tattoo podcast. Kia ora, I'm Craigie Lee, and I'm here with Braden McMahon from Auckland Tattoo Studio. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. You're my first interview, E.
Woo!
So it's pretty cool. I tried to set a few up and they didn't happen, so I'm glad to finally get it going. So that's awesome.
Nice.
Firstly, congratulations, because you've just become the new owner of Auckland Tattoo Studio.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would be really happy about that, because I think it was all up in the air when Merv died. A lot of people were like, oh, what's going to happen with his shop? And I think a lot of people are going to be relieved that a tattoo artist has got it and you're going to carry on kind of his name and his legacy.
Yeah, man. It's a relief to me as well, because it was up in the air for me and Gareth, who works here. And yeah, it's finally secure and in safe hands.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you'll do a good job, because you love tattoo history.
I love it.
And you're all about kind of respecting the art and the tradition of it and keeping that history alive. So I just think you're the perfect person to do it. Plus you were there when Merv was there at the end, you know. So
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's great. Let's start at the beginning of when you first started tattooing, and then we'll go back and we can talk more about Merv Shop later on. Cool. What was your kind of first experience of tattoos when you were like, oh, fuck yeah, they're fucking awesome. That's kind of what I want to do.
First experience was like skating and punk music. Just all my heroes had them, and I didn't really know much about it or how to get them, or doing them wasn't even in my radar at the time. But I was working a shitty job in Sydney, and I was getting tattooed by this guy, and was telling him how shitty my job was, and he just offhandedly said, you should tattoo, man. It's fun. I work 4 days a week and get hella money.
He's really sold it to you.
He sowed the seed, and I've got friends that have done apprenticeships, but I didn't consider it a job path for me. I was painting flash for fun, just fucking around.
Yeah. How old were you around then?
This was probably not that long ago, 2011.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I spoke to my girlfriend and she was like, fucking do it. Try and get an apprenticeship. And yeah, hit up every single shop I could find in Australia, in Sydney anyway. Yeah. And
so did you get your first tattoo in Sydney?
No, I was getting tattooed in Tauranga by a guy called Slim. And he apprenticed my good friend Jacob Cross. And even still, the penny hadn't dropped that potentially I could do this.
Yeah. Slow learner.
Yeah. Bit slow.
Everyone's giving you hints.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was getting tattooed a lot in New Zealand and then moved to Sydney in 2009 and was getting tattooed over there. And yeah, working in a shitty marine construction job and hating it. And it was real dangerous and underpaid, undervalued.
Yeah. But doing that thing that all New Zealanders do, just piss off to Australia.
Yes.
For a few years and do some work over there because the money's good.
That's right.
So did you land an apprenticeship in Sydney?
I didn't. The only shop that showed any interest was a gang shop, and I'd been warned against that. And I wanted to travel at the same time, so it was kind of a toss-up between apprenticing or traveling. And I thought, I'll try and get an apprenticeship in Europe. And I did. I got an apprenticeship with an old acquaintance from back in the Hamilton Waikato days.
Yeah.
Called Chris Lee. He reluctantly took me on.
Yeah. So did you kind of plan on moving to Europe beforehand and then kind of arrange the apprenticeship, or did you set the apprenticeship up and move to Europe to apprentice?
Me and my partner Helena were just traveling Europe, and I was asking everywhere. I had no idea how to get an apprenticeship. I just rocked up to shops with a terrible portfolio. And
like we all did. That's how I did it. I had no idea. And I just had this piece of shit portfolio. It was going in everywhere. And I don't know, if you go in enough places and knock on enough doors, sure, somebody's going to give in, you know?
Yeah, that was my plan. I tried that and just wasn't happening. And so we wanted to keep traveling around Europe. So We were house sitting for some friends in Italy, and I thought I'd call Chris. And
so was he in Italy as well?
No, he was in Germany, in northern Germany, just 40 k's north of Hamburg.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, rung him up and asked him if he'd be interested in apprenticing me, and he said no. My last apprentice has disappeared off the face of the earth, bought his supplies and disappeared. And I thought, so he doesn't have an apprentice. That's my in. So I told him I'm going to come to his house and convince him. And after a bout of food poisoning and being stopped at the border between Switzerland and Germany and getting fined for ridiculous things, we got there 2 weeks later to his place at 1 a.m. He said, nice to see you. You start at 10.
Awesome.
So I think that was the first test.
Yeah. And to see if you would actually come.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess he hears it all the time, especially being a Kiwi.
And... yeah. And it's so easy now as well. People just hit you up by email.
Yeah, that's right.
Like at our shop, we, you know, probably this time of year, college is ending and everybody's looking for a job. And like every week we're getting like 5 or 6. And I'm just like, look, if you can't even come into the shop and talk,
that's right.
You're not getting a reply.
Mm.
So yeah, you proved yourself to him by driving hundreds of kilometers up to Germany and arrived at 1 a.m. and 9 hours sleep, or probably no sleep, and then started the next day.
That's it. Yeah.
So was it quite a traditional apprenticeship in terms of like putting you through the ringer and giving you all the shit jobs?
I had learned that you do get the shit jobs, and I thought, why not counter that by offering to do them? And I think perhaps it took him by surprise, and so I didn't get too many shit jobs, but just in charge of all the cleaning, doing all the tubes and stuff like that, a lot of sitting and watching him tattoo. He was really good at talking about what he's doing while he's doing it, so he was really good to learn from. He threw a few pranks on me, which was part of it and unwelcome, but you get over that.
I think everybody does, eh? You know.
And he got me tattooing pretty quick, to be honest. Tattooing myself, I took a job just doing some decorating with a guy and apprenticing in the evenings, and I showed up one evening, he said, there's beers in the fridge, you're tattooing yourself tonight. And that was it. He
off you went.
Yeah, I tattooed a Penrose triangle with wiggly lines.
Triangle, like straight line. Like my first tattoo was the Black Flag logo.
Holy shit.
And thinking about it now, like you just said, yours was a Penrose triangle.
Yeah.
Black Flag logo. It's a lot of fucking straight lines. They're pretty dumb tattoos to do. Like, it's real simple. It's just like black bars, but like, those have to be straight lines. It's dumb.
It is dumb, yeah. So I'd thought about it for like beforehand, and I thought I'll do that. It's kind of simple, straightforward, but with wiggly lines, on purpose, obviously wiggly lines, and just buried it up to the hilt and blew the shit out of my first line, and he freaked out and it freaked me out.
At least it was on yourself, so
yeah. And
you can look at it all the time and be like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Again.
Exactly. And then, the lines, they kind of panned out, healed out.
Yeah, got thicker.
Yep. Evenly thicker.
Yeah.
It's a controlled blowout.
So, obviously, Chris was a Kiwi.
Yep.
But you're in Germany, so how did you find kind of the language thing, dealing with customers when you first got there?
I had survival German. I had some flashcards at the shop where I'd ask my questions. What do you want? Where do you want it? How big? What's your budget? And if I was in trouble, he'd help me out with translations, or he wouldn't, depending on the day. It was cool. It was a challenge, but it was a good challenge, man. I was 30, I guess, at that stage. So I was old enough to realize that the hard graft will pay off, you know?
Yeah, I think it's definitely beneficial to get into tattooing a little bit later, after you've done a few shit jobs.
Totally.
Because you actually appreciate making money doing something you like, as opposed to like lifting fucking furniture upstairs.
Yes.
And or working at McDonald's or fucking whatever. And I think like there's so many kids that are getting it now, they're like 19, you know, and it's just like, fuck, go work some shit jobs and then come and do it, you know. Yeah. And you're going to appreciate it a whole lot fucking more than yeah. if you just fucking start now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see it in artists coming through the shop, and it, and yeah, they just got a different work ethic and a different mindset.
Yep.
Which I, yeah, I don't think it's that great.
You wouldn't understand, you little shits.
Yeah, no, I feel like this. Yeah, so I feel like, oh my god, I sound like my dad or like some old guy. But
I know, right?
You yeah. just you're getting older. So how long did you stay in Germany for?
We were there for 2 years.
Yeah,
we got an apartment and a little 96 Ford Fiesta and
nice
tiki toured around Europe and that with our bikes in the back, and learned to tattoo. Did lots of tattoos. Which was great.
Yeah, I think the tattoo culture and just people's mentality about tattooing in Germany is awesome. Like when I've done conventions there and shows, they've always been super, super busy, and people yep. have been open to getting just good stuff.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah. Yeah, so how did you find that?
Yeah, it was great. I was obsessed with traditional American style tattooing, and I really wanted to focus on that, but I realized pretty swiftly that not everyone likes that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially in Germany, did a lot of lilies, a lot of black and grey skulls stuff, lots of lettering.
Lots of schnorkels. Yeah, schnorkels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the first guest spot I ever did in Germany, I fucking turned up,
mm-hmm.
looked through my diary, and I was like, looking at the appointments, and most of it was in English.
Yes.
And then there's this thing, schnorkel, and I was like, I thought it was like a snorkel mask. And I thought I was doing like a scuba diver tattoo, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then I was looking through, and I was like, oh, the next day there's schnorkels. And I was like, I can't be doing two scuba divers. So then I asked the guys, so I was like, so what is this? They're like, oh, we don't know what it is in English. It's yep. like swirly kind of stuff with flowers. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like it's kind of like filigree. Like,
yep.
They're like, yes, just swirly and flowers. And I was like, yep. okay, I got it. But yeah. it's kind of like a weird thing. And I'm sure anyone that's tattooed in Germany will know, know what it is.
Yeah.
Fucking schnorkels.
Yeah. Script mit schnorkel.
Yeah. Classic.
Great.
So I think I met you when you first came back to New Zealand at the New Plymouth show.
Yes.
I remember talking to you and you'd just come back, and I don't yep. think you were working at a shop then. You were like, oh, I'm just trying to suss out what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I was, when was that? November. Yeah, I would have just started at Merv's shop.
Right.
I did a little stint at Hamilton Body Art.
Yeah.
Because I'd moved home, had no money. Lived with my folks in Cambridge.
Because yeah, you're from Hamilton originally.
Yeah, I'm from Cambridge originally, yeah. yeah. And did a little stint between Cambridge and Hamilton Body Art.
Yeah, because I was talking to Richard, was down here last week, and I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I think Braden apprenticed with Pete. And I was like, oh, did he? Because like Pete and Tash have known, I met them when I first moved to New Zealand
yep.
Quite early on in my career here, and they're like lovely people. And I was like, yep. really? You worked there? And I was like, oh, I don't know. So it was just the guest spot, long guest spot.
Yeah, yeah. I set up this little a little private studio above my mate's gym in Cambridge, and all my mates had left Cambridge and no one was getting tattooed by me, and I don't know, just didn't have the reach for it. And yeah. So I hit Pete up and he said, yep, you can come and work here. I suppose you don't need that spot above the gym anymore. Just slyly, I was like, yeah, no.
He was probably the one making sure you had no work.
No doubt.
Small town.
Yeah, man. And yeah, worked there for a little while, just part-time, as well as I went back to plastering. So I was tattooing part-time at Pete's and then plastering for the other days, and then got another job in Hamilton, working for an engraving company. As well as tattooing at Hamilton Body Art, then
right, because they opened the second shop, didn't they?
Yes,
that's yeah. right. Yeah, which didn't last too long.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a hard thing because you can never be in two places at
that's
once.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think like a lot of people who have two shops either have somebody that's like kind of a partner in it and they really, really trust, or somebody, you hear about it a lot in the States, like guys like Freddie Cobbin. You've got two shops on the same street.
Yes.
So that's easy, you know, yeah, you're just around the corner.
Just wander down, yeah. check in, yeah.
So what made you move to Auckland? Was it just kind of you wanted to get more traditional work, or you just, it was a bigger city, or?
How it panned out, we moved to, me and Helena, we met in 2009 and moved to Sydney like 4 or 5 months later together. And that was because of my job, my work. And then we traveled, and then we settled in Germany for me to apprentice and to learn to tattoo. So we got back to New Zealand and I was like, wherever you want to go, wherever it may be, it's up to you. Where you can get a job that you're happy doing, we'll move there.
Yeah, and that's awesome, because I mean, you've got a job you can take anywhere, you know. Once you're good enough and you've got the skill set, you can kind of up and move, and you know, you just have to work hard at building that customer base when you move to begin with, don't you? But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, she got offered a really good job up in Auckland. So we started sort of tripping up there, just checking out the lay of the land, going around some, I was going around some shops trying to, get a job. And then we moved up there in August 2015 and I had a job interview on the Tuesday afternoon and it really didn't go very well. And, every time I'd been up prior, Merv's shop was closed. And I was a bit apprehensive. I thought, shit, he's the big dog. I don't think he'd give me a job anyway.
Yeah. It's intimidating.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially when the shop's closed all the time and you don't know why or what's going on there. But yeah, I was skating home from this interview in the city at a tattoo shop, and Merv's shop was open. So I bowled in there and there was no one in the shop. And I was kind of looking through, checking it out, and then Merv came in behind me from outside. He'd been down the street chatting to someone, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I introduced myself and told him the situation. I just moved here yesterday. I'm looking for work. If you can give me a job, that'd be great. If you know anyone that's looking for someone, that'd be great too. And he said, "Nah, I'm retiring. I'm selling the shop. I'm going to shut it. But leave your details and I'll pass them on." And I said, "Sweet. Now that that's out of the way, you're Merv O'Connor. Holy shit. Cool to meet you. Check out these tattoos that came in from the 70s into Cambridge Body Art when I was working there." And yeah, we talked shit for a little while and then he asked if I want to come upstairs for a cup of tea. And yeah, we went upstairs and he just asked me about everything except tattooing. About my travels.
Just trying to figure out who you were.
Life experience, jobs and all that sort of shit. And we hung out upstairs for like 2 hours. And then the phone rang downstairs. And he stood up. He said, "So yeah, I'll give you a job. I'll just grab that phone."
Awesome.
And went downstairs. And I was left sitting there thinking, what the fuck just happened? Is he for real? And yeah, went downstairs and he said, "Yeah, I'll give you a job. When do you want to start?" And I said, "Oh, I can start on Monday." And I told him that I was still working down in Hamilton a few days a week, so I need to sort of shuffle that around and make all of that work. Yeah, he said, "Sweet, come in at 4:30 on Monday and I'll show you the ropes." And yeah, he put me on nights. I was working from 5 till whenever.
Yeah. But on Ponsonby Road, that's
yeah,
pretty busy street for like yeah, cafes and bars and just entertainment in Auckland. So I mean, you know, it's kind of unusual for a shop in New Zealand to be open late, but I guess that would be one of the places that it would work.
Yep, for sure. It was pretty quiet at first, I think, because Merv had been quite sick for quite a number of years and the shop was intermittently closed.
Yeah. So was he working on his own there at that point?
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, it was just him.
He was on his own there, and I asked if I could come and hang out during the day because I wasn't doing anything, and just hang out until my shift started. And he was like, "Oh, no, I work alone." Cool. but yeah, we'd always have a debrief. I'd come in at like 4:30. We'd have a cup of tea and a debrief about the day and the night, and
the night before,
yeah, and yeah, we spent a lot of time together in those afternoons for the first 6 weeks, And then he decided that he was going to take 2 weeks off because he wasn't feeling too well, and said, the shop's mine, I can run it how I want, work when I want. Yeah, and then he, 2 weeks turned into 2 years, pretty much.
Yeah, that was it, just retired.
Just unofficially retired, yeah.
I think that's kind of the same with Roger, who's got Roger's tattoo art, or had Roger's tattoo art. Mm. Just literally just turned up one day and gave Tommy the keys and was just like, yeah, I'm kind of done.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think like what you're saying about just that kind of informal interview, I think that's quite common with like those older artists, you know, they're just very salt of the earth kind of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they'd rather just suss you out, you know?
Like, yeah.
You can put on a tattoo, like, you know, it's pretty good, but yeah. I want to know who he is.
Yeah, for sure. You know? It was quite good because, like, I don't know, the pressure of a job interview wasn't there. It was just a chat.
Yeah.
And, he obviously thought I was okay and got me doing nights. And they were pretty quiet at first, but then they got busier. And then he put me on days. And, yeah, it's just kind of steamrolled from there.
Sweet. So, I mean, for anybody who's listening to this podcast who doesn't know who Merv is, like Auckland Tattoo Studio is the oldest tattoo studio currently still going in New Zealand.
Yes.
Rogers is second, and I think the oldest in the same location. Merv had been open before that, but just moved locations a few times.
Yeah, that's right.
So where was his original location, and what was that like? 1970.
So 1969, he moved up from Whanganui, and tattooed from his house in Ponsonby Terrace.
Yeah. So was he tattooing in Whanganui before that?
Yeah. He was a jockey. He was a real well regarded jockey and horse trainer, and he was tattooing in his downtime, which was at night. So he was really busy. Then he moved. Yeah, he moved him and his family to Auckland, and made some real good money in his first week, just by putting up posters down at the Navy. Or like the round the harbour, because he was one of maybe only one other tattooers or two other tattooers in Auckland.
Yeah, which is quite a big spread out city compared to some other places in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So I mean, having three artists there, yeah, was more than enough work, to make a killing.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Do you know who else would have been around at that time?
Bill Gray. He was kind of the Merv. Like the Merv to me for Merv.
Yeah.
He was a bit older, had been tattooing a long time and kind of in the early stages of retirement. I think he had one sheet of flash because his shop got flood damaged.
Oh, shit.
And only a couple of sheets survived. And he said, if you don't want anything off those sheets, then you can't have it. And Tiger Mitchell was a generation above or before Bill Gray, I believe. And he tattooed, I can't remember which suburb he tattooed in, but he was really old by the time Merv got to Auckland. I think there was a few more. It's escaping me. Eagle Neil, I think Eagle Neil was around. There was a few around, but just the desire to get tattooed outweighed the amount of people that were tattooing, so Merv was fucking busy.
Yeah. Plus, I guess he would have been the new kid on the block.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
What I mean? And like probably what he was doing was a bit more modern compared to those old guys in his approach to things. So
yeah,
that kind of probably works in his favor.
For sure. Yeah. So in 69, he would have been 30. So he was still really young and just eager and ready to go. And then he ended up renting a premises on Upper Queen Street. And then the landlord moved him along because they were demolishing the building or renovating or something to that extent. Then he got a spot on K Road. I think it was 71 K Road. And then the same thing happened. Renovating, you have to leave. So he moved to 151, I think it was. Or I might be getting these numbers mixed up. On K Road as well. And then he ended up buying a shop on Richmond Road to keep in his back pocket in case he got moved along again.
Yeah, thinking ahead.
Yes, and that happened, so he moved to Richmond Road. And I don't think he was there for very long. And then Ponsonby Road its current location, came up as available to rent. And so he rang the agent and said, I'll take it over the phone. And the agent insisted that he comes and checks it out. And he kind of said, well, I just want it. I want to rent it.
I want to be in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Met the agent at the front door and said, I'll take it. The agent showed him around and, yeah, move. Rented it in 1988. And there it has stood ever since.
Until it's still there today?
Yeah. So 31 years on Ponsonby Road, 49 years in total. So next year will be our 50-year anniversary.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
It's a big, big number.
Pretty big, yeah.
Cool. So same thing you were saying earlier, like every time I went up to Auckland, I worked at Two Hands, which is just further down on Ponsonby Road, and the guys were like, oh, you should go check out Merv's shop. And I'd go up there. I went up there like four times, different times I went up, never open. And
yeah,
then sadly passed away and just never got to meet the guy.
Yep.
But what was he, just kind of your kind of street shop walk-in guy? Or
yeah, he turned his hand to most things. He was a nice guy, an amicable guy. A few people have told me that they took notes on his dealings with people, because he wasn't an asshole. He wasn't just like a roughhouse drunken tattooer, stereotypical tattooer. He was just a nice guy. He was straight up. He could read between the lines. He was very good at reading someone's character just by hanging out with them for a little bit of time, which served him well. Yeah, he did a lot of, in the 70s and 80s, he did a lot of Western traditional style of tattooing. He produced a lot of flash, which some of it still survives, which we've got on the walls at the shop, which is cool. He did a bit of Tamoko stuff when that came back out of being banned, or yeah,
just looked down upon, eh?
Looked down upon for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, almost kind of died out, I think. That's yeah, probably another story for another podcast with another artist.
For sure, yeah.
And kind of another chapter of tattooing in New Zealand, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, Merv's had a lot of apprentices and people working under him over the years, eh?
Yeah.
Brent McGowan.
Brent McGowan worked with him, yeah.
I know Marv, who's now kind of retired from tattooing but still building awesome tattoo machines, kind of apprenticed under Brent, but kind of Merv was always like, he just tells me these stories that he was like, oh, you know, he'd talk to me, he's like, oh yeah, that time that you helped out at the shop, it was never an official title, you know. Who else had kind of went through there?
Steve Marching worked there.
Oh yeah.
In the I guess in the late 80s, early 90s. I'm not exactly sure when Steve Marching started there, but he worked there. There was three artists around that time. There was Steve Shaw, which was Merv's son-in-law, Steve Marching and Merv, and they kind of did a rotating roster. There was two booths in the shop, and yeah, there'd be kind of sometimes two on the days, sometimes two on the nights, just sort of, yeah, rotating roster. Gypsy from Hamilton, he worked there for quite a while Merv was sick, he kept the ship going. He's had a few other overseas guests come and work there and hang out there. Yeah. And now myself and Gareth and Josh.
Yeah, right, because Gareth was, he apprenticed in Wellington, I think, and then he moved down to Christchurch and then up with you. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good dude.
Josh, he's moved quite recently, hasn't he? He's kind of just kind of found his feet, I think, over the past few years with kind of the style he's doing, and then just finding the right shop to do it in.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think like what kind of, I think I probably met him in 2011 at there was a show in Auckland that year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, it was Epsom or somewhere. But yeah, I met Josh at that. He was like a really nice kind of dude, but wasn't really doing much Tomoko stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just nice to see him embrace it and just kind of run with it. And he's just kind of, he's doing a kind of his own kind of modern kind of twist on it. And
it translates really well. He's really, you can see his own personality in his tattooing. It's really cool to see.
Yeah.
And we're really stoked to have him on board here.
How raucous a place was Ponsonby Road back in the day? Because you said about Merv's character, he's obviously learned as a kind of, tattooing is kind of a customer service industry because you're dealing with people every day, especially if you're in a street shop, you're doing walk-ins every day, and you kind of have to develop a way to say no to people but be nice.
Yes.
Which obviously Merv mastered magnificently.
Yep.
But yeah, was Ponsonby like really full on back in the day?
Yeah, but from everyone that's been around since then, they said it was pretty rough, quite a rough area of town. I guess tattooing was a whole different monster back then. The waiting room in the shop we're currently in was huge, which these days doesn't really serve a purpose.
Yeah.
But back then, apparently, people would just sit and wait. If you were on the late shift and people came in to get tattooed by you, they'd just sit and wait.
Just have a beer on the sofa.
Have a beer, yeah. Smoke a durry. Yeah. I think it was pretty ruckus back then. Lots of drinking, I guess. I'm not too sure. Everyone's pretty tight-lipped about it.
Yeah.
Cut that bit out. I don't know anything about that shit.
Yeah. Did Merv share like any kind of stories with you about any kind of dealings with customers over the years?
There's a few things that he shared. But yeah, probably not gonna share them on here, to be honest. Nothing too sordid, but just some weird incidences that happened, and I'm glad we don't really have that sort of shit going on these days.
Yeah, man, I think we've got it, like, it has become very mainstream, and people, like you say, oh, the tattoo industry, and people are like, no, it's a craft and it's this, and it's like, it is an industry now. It's
totally.
So big. It's like you've got all these companies that have nothing to do with people that tattoo, or they're not part of it, that are trying to make money from it, you know.
Yeah.
It is an industry, and that's kind of made it mainstream, and that's kind of just, it's just brought a different kind of customer in.
Yeah.
You know, you still kind of get weirdos coming into the shops, but you still, to balance that out, you've got lots of lovely people as well.
Absolutely.
Which I think we're very lucky tattoo artists that are kind of our age now tattooing. We're extremely lucky not having to deal with all that shit that they had to deal with back then.
Yeah.
When did Merv pass away? A couple of years ago?
Merv passed away Friday the 13th, October 2017.
Wow, that's a good, well, it's never a good day to pass away, no. But it's a good number.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
He was very superstitious as well, I think it was quite a poignant day for him to go.
Yeah.
At the same day, a truck hit the sign out on the sidewalk and took the whole sign down.
out the front of the shop.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of weirdly fitting, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was quite daunting. It was like, is that the beginning of the end? But yeah, we held on and we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep it going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So where do you kind of see it going now? Because obviously over the years since it's been open, so many shops have opened in Auckland.
Mm.
It's just exploded like everywhere else around the world. How do you see that shop continuing to fit in with kind of everything that's evolving?
I want to elevate it back to the way it used to be in terms of busyness, and the spot to go to. I'd like to just keep having incredible artists working there, just with good principles that work hard and do good tattooing, but are also good people as well.
Don't cause you any drama.
Exactly, man. Yeah. And I think, like, the two guys that I have there now, they're a little bit older, They're both in their 30s. They've been tattooing quite a long time. They've kind of got it figured out. It's a career for them. It's not just a fucking flash in the pan, you know. It's not like a cool job to them. It's a great job. Don't get me wrong, but it's not just a, you know.
Yeah, it is. But I think like a lot of younger kids, almost, it's almost like, you know, you, when you play in a band, you play in a few bands. It's kind of almost what they're doing with tattooing. Mm. So, oh, I'm just going to tattoo for a little bit and fuck around with this. And it's just like, nah, just fucking respect it for what it is and give it your all, because, you know, it deserves that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I haven't been tattooing that long, but I, like I said before, I feel like my, I don't want to sound like a wanker, but like my experiences, my life experiences have really kind of tuned me into appreciating it more for what it is. It's like, I'm fucking lucky to be where I am. Super lucky. And I don't take it for granted at all. And same with these guys, Gareth and Josh. They work hard. They do fucking wicked tattoos. They're lovely dudes. Great phone manners.
Bedside manner. Yeah, lovely.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I just want to have a good shop with good artists. Good all-round artists as well, which these two are. Just providing a nice service where people feel comfortable and it's not too elitist or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I've kind of always thought about tattooing. Like, it is a working-class art. It's supposed to be approachable and affordable and accessible. It's not this fucking cool thing of private studios and your way. They're like, everything's got its place within tattooing, but I think like it's always been a working class art.
Totally,
you know.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's always been important. That's what I wanted to do with my shop when I opened. I never wanted to be this fucking clicky elitist thing, you know, that was fucking turning away walk-ins. Go, oh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, we don't do that here.
No.
Yeah. Same with me, man. Like, we'll do anything that walks in the door, unless it's out of our skill set, but we're not too pig-headed to know our limits, you know.
Yeah,
like, we'll do a good job of stuff that we're comfortable doing. We're not going to try anything ridiculous, you know. Just do good tattoos and good art and just be good people, man.
Yeah,
and we're all adults, like, don't be a fuckwit. It's not hard. I don't know. And just to do Merv's legacy justice, you know.
Yeah.
Keep that going. It's Merv O'Connor's Auckland Tattoo Studio, and it will always be that. And it's his, the whole thing is his shrine. Like, I own it now, but it's his shop, you know. He built it up to be what it is.
Yeah.
And I just want to continue it. And
there's so much history in a shop like that, because it's like, it's almost like it's, it is a second home, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? I remember popping in to see you there when you, I don't know how long you'd been there, maybe like a year or something, and you were like, oh, come upstairs, I've got these pictures of from Wellington back in the day that Merv had taken on a trip down to there, and there was all these old photo albums, and you're like, yeah, this is like Roger tattooing Merv, and here's Merv tattooing Roger, and there was another tattoo artist in the picture set, I can't remember who it was.
Gypsy. Oh, right. Gypsy was getting tattooed by all of them.
Yeah. And it's just amazing when you go into a shop like that, and it's just, it's like Roger's shop. It's just, it is like a museum in itself, you know, especially for people that are tattooers like us, you know, just to go in, and it's just fucking mind blowing.
It is, man. It's, it runs so deep.
Yeah.
It's been around for so long, and we're just a blip in time, you know?
Yeah.
And we've got to do it justice.
Cool, man. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. Do you want to give the shop and the guys at the shop a plug for their Instagrams?
Yeah, sure. On Instagram, we are at Auckland Tattoo Studio. Gareth is at Shaded Skull. One word, I believe. Josh is Josh Paki Tamoko. And I am Braden McMahon Tattoo.
But spelt like Mahon.
Correct.
Like I asked you earlier, because when I started this podcast, I didn't want to look like an idiot and get your name wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just read things and I'm like, oh, that's how it sounds to me.
Yeah, perfect.
Cool, man. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
And hopefully I'll be back not too distant future with the second episode of this podcast. I have no idea who it's going to be yet because I'm not that organised. And everybody so far seems to be quite aloof with wanting to do it. So thanks for getting the ball rolling. And hopefully that will lead the way for other people to jump on board and be like, oh, it's not so bad. I can sit down and have a talk. Awesome, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
This week's episode of Tall Tales and Tattooing was brought to you by Fortune Favors, beer for the bold, the brave, and the lucky. Pick a six-pack up from your local supermarket or visit their brew bar on Leeds Street in Wellington City.